Let us pray together. In the gift of the morning, in the coolness as we have had the privilege of being in other churches and preaching and coming to this place, in the coolness of the weather and in the beauty of the drive, we have seen the glory of God splashed upon our countrysides. We've seen the glory of God in our witnessing, in our preaching, in our being with brothers and sisters in Christ. We have seen God's power in everything that we have done. And now as we come to this time of worship here, may we see that power and that spirit overwhelm us and change us. Call us into your worship and remind us that we're here to worship you and you only. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought," 128 in your hymn books, or it's on the screen.
So I thought we might do something different for my time here. You may have done this in the past 150 times, but for me, we haven't. The Psalter is on page 821. You'll find this in your hymn book. It probably is on the screen too, but it is in page 821. It's Psalm 100. Most of you know it by heart, I'm sure, but it is Psalm 100, page 821. I will lead us. And this is where Terry comes involved. She doesn't know it yet because she's looking at me this way. I will lead out with the first sentence, and then in the dark print, y'all will speak. And as the lay leader of the church, she will lead the congregation in that part.
Okay?
We're training as we go. All right? And so we will do that this morning. And then at the end of this, we'll sing the Gloria Patra as if we mean it. So here we go. Let us do the Psalter, Psalm 100. One day we'll actually do the choral responses, but we're not there yet. So we'll just go with this right now. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Know that the Lord who made us is God.
We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Give thanks and bless God's name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good job, Terry. Hey, Mama. Let us join together in a time of pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. We will begin with silent prayer. And during the pastoral prayer, I will ask you to call out people's names that you want us to pray for. Say them loudly if you have names you would like to have lifted before this congregation and before God, so that we can be the family of God praying together. Let us pray. Oh, we praise God that you lead us. We praise God that you walk with us and you teach us and you show us your love and you offer us your presence. We praise God that you give us the ability to hear your voice, to see your direction, and to be changed by your Holy Spirit through salvation and grace. We praise God that we have the ability to hear and understand how you would have us love others and care for each other, how you would have us open our arms to others and present ourselves in fullness and in grace to each other. We thank you, Lord, for this season. As we are moving towards our Thanksgiving Day, with which this country gives thanks, and towards Advent, the beginning of the new church year, as we walk through those days and we look at All Hallows Eve and All Saints Day, and as we see the blessing of the saints that have gone before us, and as we put into these moments the full worship of God and the completeness of who you would have us be, let us give thanks for the way you love and care for us and offer yourself to us. Part of giving thanks is allowing ourselves to look around at our world and at the people in our congregation and to see just how blessed we are, even in the midst of the turmoil and strife that we sometimes get caught up in. We would not pray this morning without remembering the dear folks in South Carolina and Florida who still struggle because of the hurricane, and in Puerto Rico as they still try to recover from previous hurricanes, and then the one that has just come through a few weeks ago. We would not pause this morning without thinking of the dear folks in Ukraine and our missionaries who still serve there and work the churches and are trying to lead people to Christ in the midst of war. We would not come this morning without thinking of our homeless, of our sick, of those who need your word and need your grace. We come today praising you because we have the ability to pray freely and to not be afraid. So part of being family is to be in prayer with each other. And as we've heard Larry's name mentioned, we pray for complete healing for him, that he would be able to be back with us soon. And we now take this time to lift up holy names before you and this congregation, that we can be family praying together.
The family of Mike Lane.
Amen.
The family of Mike and John Mitchell.
Amen. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and teach us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Put those things in icebox. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Morning, gentlemen. Let us pray together. By God's grace, in God's love, let us give to you as you have given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
standing as we sing Be Thou My Vision, page 451.
Christ has lost his grip on me, for I am
So if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, we provide one for you in the pew. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Have y'all found it? Everybody got it? Smile. It's okay. Everybody got it? Everybody good? All right. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store up my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Where, oh, where is our treasure, oh Lord? Where is our first thought of the day? Where is our last? What do we store into this life? Let us think about it, oh Lord, and let us work through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know if y'all have noticed lately, I've noticed this, especially where we live on our side of Knoxville. They're putting up brand new buildings during this time around us. And they're these fabulous five-story buildings that are about three times the size of football fields deep and about two times the size of football fields wide. And they have these great signs in front of them, and they look really fabulous and clean and neat. And they have inside of them somewhere between 300 and 500 rooms. They're not motels. They're storage spaces. They're all over Knoxville. They're growing like wildfire. I mean, every time we turn around, the new food city that we sometimes shop at, close to it, they have this brand new, it's called Volunteer Storage. Now, number one, you're not volunteering anything when you put it in there. They're making you pay for it. But secondly, I guess you're volunteering to pay for it. And so they have it. And so I went over. One day, Mary Lynn was shopping, and, And I'm nosy. I don't know if y'all know this about me yet, but I like to be nosy. And so I went over and I saw the manager, and they were just completing it. I mean, nothing's in it yet, okay? And I said to him, well, how many spaces you got? He said, right at 500. I thought, wow, how many homeless people could I put up here and feed and take care of? But I didn't go there with him. I said, about 500. I said, so how long would it take you to fill it? And he said, no, the every space is already sold. There's no empty spaces in this building. We could have built it twice this size and had it full. Now, you know, that speaks to something about our society. I know we're struggling with the money. The gas prices are up. You've got all those things people preach about that's negative. But it must not be all bad, because we got so much stuff that we have to rent places to put our stuff because there's no room for it at our homes. I mean, people actually put stuff in these things and then go get their Christmas stuff out and put their other stuff up, and they get this, and they're transferring stuff back and forth. Now, I would call it junk. But for some people, their junk is their stuff, and so, you know, that works out well. And so they've got all these places. And I think the parable, which is almost self-explanatory in itself, speaks to us about our stuff. The rich man, now I want you to walk through the story with me. The rich man plants his crops, and God blesses the rich man with wonderful yield from his crops. Now, is there anything wrong with planting crops and having so much you can't eat it? Anything wrong with that? You know what we called that back in my day? We called it canning. You had too much, what'd you do with it? You put it in cans, or you froze it, and you kept it for when you didn't have as much stuff. All right, so, and that's those things. So that's what we would do. We put it there. And so, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. For every one of you who get guilty because God blesses you, don't feel that way. Be blessed. It's okay to be blessed. If you go back to the prayer of Jabez, and we're not going to go there this morning, but you go back to the prayer of Jabez, it tells you God's supposed to enlarge your land. It's a good thing. We're supposed to be there. It's all right. So the rich man's cool with this. He's being blessed. That's great. So then he says to himself, now let me make sure you hear about this. How many of y'all talk to yourselves? Anybody talk to yourselves? How many of y'all answer yourselves? Sometimes the only way I can get the answer I want is by answering myself. And so, you know, and so think about that. Y'all don't ever give me, or don't always give me the answer I want, so I just answer myself. That way I know I'm right, you know, until I argue with myself, and then that becomes an issue. But that's another conversation. And so you work through that, and so he says to himself, self, because he's the boss, he's the rich man. Here's what we're going to do, self. We're going to tear down barns. And I never quite got this part of it. Why don't you just build another barn beside the one you have? I mean, you know, what's wrong with that? But I'm going to tear down the barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones, like bigger storage buildings. Because you remember, storage buildings used to be 8 or 10 little rows of storage buildings outside where you could drive by them with a fence around them, and you'd come by and see it every now and then. You'd walk by and you'd see it. And you would come there, and there would be those little things. They'd be 5x5, and that'd be what they'd be, and they'd be a storage building. That's what they used to be. Now they're inside, temperature-controlled, climate-perfect storage building. With the issue we had with our heat and air here for a while, I thought about going by and see if one of them would give me one of their units so I could put it here in the church. What do you think my chances are? It's another story. So think of the process of that. We have that, so he's going to build bigger, newer versions of this, and I'm going to, now watch, is there anything wrong with building new storage buildings? All right, no sin so far, right? He's going to build a new storage building. Got too much stuff, got too much grain. God's blessed him beyond his means, beyond anything he could imagine, so he's going to take it, he's going to put it in new barns so he can have new storage. Nothing wrong with that. And then he starts talking to himself and says, now, here's what I'm going to do, self. Now that I've got all this stuff, I've got all this grain, I built new barns, or going to, I'm going to put it up and do all those things, I'm going to relax. Now, is there anything wrong with relaxing? I like to relax on occasion, don't y'all? I like to put my feet up, get in my easy chair, put my blankie on top of me. I don't have a pass anymore, but blankie on top of me, get everything sitting there, watch a little TV, get my Coke over here on the side, get my feet up, get it warm. Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong. So far, I'm going to relax. But here's it. And then I'm going to relax, and then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry because I've got it all. Now, here's where his problem comes in. Who is he thinking of? Only himself. He could care less about the people down the road that are hungry. He may be the one walking by Lazarus as he goes by and sees him begging for food. We don't know that. It's not in this story. Jesus is telling a parable. He could be walking by people who are starving. He could be walking by people who don't have anything at all for their children. But, you know, he's walking by because, man, life is good. And he doesn't care about anybody but himself. So God speaks to him. I've always wished that this is how it worked now, in one sense. Don't you wish that every now and then when you're really doing something stupid, God would just come to you and say, "Hello, this God, you're really being stupid." Don't you wish you got that every now and then? Just, you know, don't y'all? You know, instead of their hints being dropped, you know, angels coming by and trying to help me, persuade me, dream, sending people by and trying to give me stuff that I need, doing all those things that God tries to do to us, sending saints by to talk to us about stuff, even have preachers on occasion do something right and say something to people. I mean, all this different stuff. Walking through here and doing that, here's God. Hey, dude, let me talk to you about this. Bless you. Hey, God, listen to this. Listen, son. This is really dumb. And it's so dumb that here's what's going to happen to you. Your life is going to be required of you tonight. Then who's going to get your stuff? You hear it? You listening to it? For it's where your treasure is. See, people get involved. I love this sermon. I love to sit and listen to preachers do this because, you know, I like to listen to preachers. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the worst critique of preachers' sermons is other preachers. Don't y'all know that? I love to listen because they get off on money here. Well, this is great, but it has nothing to do with money. It's about power and control in being self-contained and not worrying about anybody else. So he says to him, "Hey, when you're dead, and by the way, you're about to die, who gets your stuff? Who gets the barns that are going to be built? Who gets the grain that's going to be left? What's going to happen to all the things that you're going to relax, eat, drink, and be merry over? Because, by the way, when you're gone, you're not going to get to have any of this stuff. You can't take it with you." Just saying. Think of the process of this. Think of what just happened. Because he's trying to get us to understand when we have our life stored in the principles and the treasures of heaven, it's totally different than having our life stored in the principles and treasures of earth. Where moth and roar, I can't say it anymore. Moth and rust will destroy. Thank you. Every now and then, Marilyn, jump in. Because I need your help. She said, 40 years of these sermons, I'm not jumping in now. Think of the process of this. But I really want to talk to you about something in this that has ramifications beyond just the parable. And what I want to talk to you about is your legacy. This is what the parable's getting at. What's the legacy of the rich man? His legacy is stuff. My stuff. My things. My possessions. He has a legacy that's built of that understanding of life. You know, I wonder how our legacy would look as individuals and as a church if we could see 20 years from now. What our legacy would be with our children and our grandchildren, with our church family, with our community. If Rockwood United Methodist Church ceased to exist, what would people say about her? How would they remember us? The legacy of what we did in this community and how the community was changed by this church and the people in it. Gracie, our youngest daughter, never got to meet her grandmother and grandfather on my side of the family. She proudly got to meet Mary Lynn's mom and dad, and I'm always grateful for that. But never got to meet my mom and dad. They were gone way before she came. And in fact, I still see Mom laughing the day we found out we were pregnant with Grace. I just hear her going, good luck with that. I just see her now. But we love to tell her stories about our family. Just love to tell them because she doesn't know them. So one of the favorite stories we talk about is when my mom and dad eloped to get married. There's a whole lineage of stuff around this. So, you know, it would take 3 hours to get to the full story, but just a brief snippet. So when they eloped to get married, my Mama Hyman, who was about 4'10", and one of the feistiest women you ever met in your life, and that's putting it gently, she looked at John, my grandfather John, and said, John, where's the shotgun? You've heard of shotgun marriages. This is going to be shotgun death before marriage. And the story goes that my grandfather had to take the shotgun and unload it and hold her for about 30 minutes so they had time to leave town so they could go get married before she called him, because she said once they got married, she said, well, he's part of the family now. I can't shoot him. In case y'all wonder what your pastor grew up with, this is it. And the story is much more fuller than that. That's a 2-minute story that really takes 35 minutes to fully tell it. And I think about her because, well, I knew she was spunky and feisty. I never think of her other than she would have done anything in the world for me as her grandson. She would have done everything for me if she possibly could have. The legacy I have in mind is a loving, caring woman that would have gave her life for me. But somewhere in the annals of my mind, I can just see her holding that double-barrel shotgun in her hand going, where's he at? Let's find him. And I love that story, and I love when I see her, because every one of us have two sides of ourself. You know that about yourself? You got this nice side that we all like. Amen? Amen? Yeah, I've got to learn to say amen. And we've got this other side that we hope people don't get to see very often. Amen. See, our legacy can't be one-sided either. The rich man had every right to earn everything he earned and grow everything he grew. He has a right to build his barns as big as he wants them to. He has a right to do all those things because God is blessing him and God wants to bless us. But it's what we do with what we are blessed with that leaves the legacy. It's not actually the blessing. It's the action after it. So my friends, you're the rich man for just a moment. It's okay to be a rich woman too. You're the rich person for the moment. And your crops have just come in. And you got more than you need. What you gonna do with it? How you gonna handle it? How in the world are you gonna give the way you're supposed to give to God and satisfy the wealth you've been blessed with? Whether you're rich or not, my friends, you have one set of riches that nobody can take from you. Inside of your soul, through the faith that you have in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the riches of the Holy Spirit that change you and move you and give you salvation. And you know your one job as a Christian? Really only got one. You don't even have to be a real nice Christian, although it would be good. Your one job as a Christian is give that spirit away to others. Because the riches we have are eternal. And we need to share the eternity with everyone. Just wonder, what would God say to you about that set of riches if you and God spoke today? As between you and the Lord, only I can speak for myself. So I leave it with you. Act as God leads you to act. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I surrender all.
And by the way, the altar's open if you want to come and pray. I surrender all.
Thank you.
Everybody all right? Turn the microphone on. You can hear me. Everybody okay? I'm glad y'all are good. It'll be a blessed week. Knox County Schools were on fall break. Boy, I wish we'd had fall break when I was a kid, don't y'all? I just remember we went to school on Labor Day and got off the day before Thanksgiving, and that was it. And that was all. We were out for those 2 days, and we went the whole time. But we're on fall break, and for some reason, my 12-year-old thinks she needs my attention. And so I'm going to be with her a lot of the week. But anyway, you can always get me. Terry knows how to get me. Everybody else does, too. So feel free to call, but I'm going to entertain Gracie for most of the week. And so I'll be wore out by the time I get here Sunday. But I'll have a great time. May Lynn has to work, so she's just laughing at me because I'm going about this. So it'll be a good week. But enjoy your week. Remember as you go through it, riches are more than money. They're what's in your soul. I would say to you that the richest thing you have is your soul as it's connected to God. Do not miss that. And know that God will walk with you. Let us pray together. And now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give everything we are to you, O Lord. May the gift of your Spirit enliven and change us, and may we be different because we have worshiped you. May this day change us forever. In Christ's name we go forth. Amen.
Let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to our